of Revelation confounding, getting to know its author is a good way to demystify it. Today here on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah begins a compelling series in Revelation. And he starts by introducing us to the Apostle John, who wrote it while banished to a desolate island. To kick off his series, Agents of the Apocalypse, here's David with today's message, The Exile.
And I want to thank you for joining us today. You've picked a great day to begin listening to Turning Point if this is your first day. Today we begin a study of the book of Revelation wrapped around the characters in the book, and we've called the series Agents of the Apocalypse. Today we're going to meet the exile. And if you have a Bible close by, you want to find your place in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to learn about the Apostle John and what happened to him. And as you know, in this series, I tell the story in a narrative format first and then come back with the scripture behind the story. So there's kind of a narrative part to this and a teaching part, which helps people wrap their arms and their minds and their hearts around the truth of each section. We'll get to that in just a moment, but first I want to remind you that during this month, we would like to make available to you as our resource of the month, the beautiful Prophecy Answer Book. This hardback gift-sized book, which has been prepared for you, answers a lot of the questions that you have about the future. And the answers come not from David Jeremiah, but from the Bible. And there are, as you know, over 1,000 prophecies in the Word of God. We haven't dealt with all of them, but we've taken some of the more prominently asked questions about the prophetic future, and we've shown you where the scriptures are, and it's an easy-to-read, hold-it-in-your-hand book that you will use many times going forward. We'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Turning Point. Simply ask for it when you send your gift today. Well, let's get started with this new series. Our Bibles are open to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to listen to the story of the exile, and then mostly tomorrow we'll see the scripture behind it. Let's begin. The Bible is one great big story. It starts in Genesis and ends in Revelation, but it's full of many stories. And all of these stories primarily are about people. The Bible is a book about people. I don't know if that makes you feel better, but it makes me feel better because I understand people. Sometimes I don't understand concepts, but I understand people. And if you start in the book of Genesis with Adam, you can follow the train all the way through to the last book of the Bible, and it's full of people. Here's an interesting statistic. There are 66 books in the Bible, and 40 of those books have a person's name at the top of them. 40 of those books are either written by someone whose name is at the top or to someone whose name is at the top. The Bible is a book about people. And the book of Revelation is a book about people. In the book of Revelation, there are at least 10 significant people or groups. And we're going to give you just a little snapshot of those people. And I did this in a different way than I've ever done it. I have a wonderful friend who is a great fiction writer. When I decided to do this thing on prophecy, I sent him all my notes on all of the characters and all the information, and he helped me do this. And I think it's going to be pretty special. Because what he's done is he's taken the story that's there about the person, and he's told it in a modern framework and added some imaginary details without violating the text at all, but to bring the story forward and bring it into our culture so we can understand it. So at the beginning of each of the chapters on each of these stories and the beginning of each of the messages on each of these people, there's a little narrative that's kind of fictional, imagining how it would have been if you had been there when this happened. And that is the case with the person I want to talk with you about today. We call him the exile. His name is John. He is the human author of the book of Revelation. And if you have your Bibles, turn to the first chapter of Revelation. While you're turning there, let me begin to give you an abbreviated version of the story of John. It was Sunday in Ephesus, and a small group of families had assembled in the Apostle John's home for their weekly worship. After a few hymns, a reading of Scripture and a few more prayers, the aged John stood to speak before his little church. Suddenly, the door of his home burst open, and 8 Roman soldiers barged in. They were all dressed in armor and carrying swords. The startled Christians stared wide-eyed. Mothers drew their children close to them. The commanding officer opened a small scroll and read the emperor's demand. "You must cease to worship your God," he proclaimed. "It is lawful to worship only Domitian the emperor." After the reading, one of the soldiers held up a bronze image of the emperor that stood over a foot tall. The commander rolled up the scroll and he said, "The Emperor Domitian requires that you show your compliance with his order this day by bowing down before his image. If you refuse, you will be put to death." A woman near the front shrieked, fell to the floor. She knelt before the image and swore the oath. Her husband quickly followed, as did 4 other members. As they got up and scrambled out the door, the officer strode toward John the Apostle and said to him, "I believe you must be the one whom they speak of as John the Apostle." He said, "I am he." "Word of your disloyalty has reached the ears of the emperor himself, and he has a special punishment reserved for you. Instead of killing you outright, as he has the others, he wants to make you suffer until you wish you were dead. Your fate will show your followers the futility of resisting Rome." The aged John was struggling for breath as the soldiers forced him to march toward the Roman garrison. Once there, he was handed off to a prison guard who clamped chains on John's ankles and dragged him out into the yard. The soldiers stripped him to the waist, chained his wrists to a post, and flogged him with a metal-studded whip. Then they locked the apostle inside a damp prison cell, and for several days he lay there suspended between. 2 days later, John left the port of Ephesus, and as the ship sailed into the port of Patmos, he looked out on a landscape of barren hills, rocky crags, and stunted trees. He soon learned that the exiles were on their own. No provision had been made for them. They would gather their own food. They would find their own shelter. And the aged John was nearing exhaustion when he stumbled upon an abandoned cave that looked out over the sea. As the days wore on, each one like the one before, John began to feel that his life had become meaningless, that he was doomed to live out his remaining time with no purpose at all. He often wondered why he hadn't been martyred like his fellow apostles. Then one bright Sunday, John hobbled off toward his favorite spot overlooking the sea, sat down on his usual rock, gazed out over the gray, green water, placed his parchment on his lap, took out his quill, and was going to write a letter that he hoped somehow would be delivered when the next slaves were delivered to the island. And that's when it happened. A great voice boomed from just behind him. "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." The mighty words reverberated through the heavens like rolling thunder. John dropped everything and began to tremble, nearly paralyzed with terror. He could hardly bring himself to look toward the source of the voice. But there was something so compelling about that voice that he finally had no choice but to turn around. And there before him stood the most magnificent and majestic person he had ever seen. I mean, his face shone with the brilliance of the sun. He was clothed in shimmering robe of pure white. He was bound around his chest with a golden band, and his hair was white as pure snow. His eyes burned into John's soul like piercing flames, and everything about him exuded such perfect beauty and glory that John's senses were overwhelmed and he fell to the ground in a dead faint. He was awakened by a gentle touch on his shoulder. He heard the voice say, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of Hades and of death. And John realized he was in the presence of the Lord. The golden voice told John to take up his quill and record the wonders that he was about to be given. Wonders concerning things existing and things yet to come. John, filled with expectation, sat again with the quill in his hand and the scroll on his lap. And the voice spoke, "What you see, write in a book." And immediately the Lord began to dictate warnings, rebukes, commendations to the seven churches that looked to John as their leader. And as John completed the final letter, the vision of Christ vanished and his voice called from somewhere up above, "Come up here and I will show you things that must take place after this." And in that moment, the familiar landscape of Patmos faded, and John gazed awestruck at what no earthly human being had ever seen. He stood in the very throne room of heaven. And vision after vision followed, some horrifying to behold, and others majestic beyond imagination. Then suddenly John found himself sitting back on his rock in the shade of the boulder. He had been given a vision of It's a prophetic book. Verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place." This is not a book about what's happened in the past or what's going on in the present. This is a book about what's going to happen in the future. In fact, the book begins with the key word. It's the word apocalypsis. It's not a word we use in our language today, but if you look at it carefully, you can see it's where we get the word apocalypse. And often when you hear that word today, it's in some movie that's coming out. Have you noticed how many times they use that word for the scary movies? The apocalypse? And when you think of that word like that, you think of some dark thing, some disaster associated with the end of the world. But interestingly enough, the Greek word apocalypsis has nothing to do with that at all. The word apocalypse means an unveiling, a discovery. It literally means a manifestation, an uncovering. So the book of Revelation, though it tells us about the end times, is primarily a revelation. And notice at the top of your Bibles, if you have a Bible like mine, it says, "The revelation," what? "Of Jesus Christ." The book of Revelation is the apocalypsis. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So amidst all of these warnings and these visions, the ultimate purpose of the book of Revelation is to unveil for us the glory and power and sovereignty and victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophetic book. And then it's a personal book. Verse 2 says, "John bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw." The book of Revelation, while it is far-reaching in scope, is still a very personal book. This is a message that John received personally from the Lord. And he writes it to those with whom he is intimately acquainted. He refers to himself in verse 9 as a brother and companion in tribulation. Now look in your Bibles at verse 11 and notice what it says. "Christ said to John, 'What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia.'" And then he lists them: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These places are in a semicircle. So that if you were on the Isle of Patmos and you were John, you could look out over there and visualize these churches, which all were churches that he ministered to, that he was caring for. And so if you were to deliver these letters to those churches, you would start at Ephesus, and then you would travel north to Smyrna and Pergamum, southeast to Thyatira, Sardis and Philadelphia, and finish your journey at Laodicea. So it's a prophetic book, and it's a personal one, but here's one that gets most people. It's a picture book, a pictorial book. In verses 1 and 2, we read, "He sent and he signified by his angel to his servant John. I want you to think about that word signified. Take it apart and say it the way you would if you took it apart. He signified. What is a sign? It's a symbol. And in the book of Revelation are a lot of symbols. In fact, on 39 different occasions in the book of Revelation, we're told that John wrote about something that he saw. The book of Revelation is the most symbolic book in the Bible, although there are many symbols in other books as well. And these symbols are really important. In fact, symbols occur for a couple of reasons. Why are there so many symbols in the book of Revelation? Well, one of the reasons is that symbolism is not weakened by time. In other words, a symbol allows us to apply the lesson today just as it was applied back then, because symbols are not affected by time. A beast in the first century is a beast in the last century. And when John writes these words that were given to him by the Lord gives him some signs to use. Now, don't be mystified by that, because, listen carefully, the book of Revelation is the most self-interpreting book in the Bible. What I mean by that is, if you read something you don't understand, just be patient and keep reading. It will probably tell you in a few verses what it means. The symbols and the signs of the book of Revelation are there so that the message will convey the same thing to us that it conveyed to the people who heard it the first time. And then the second reason why symbols are important is that it imparts values and it arouses emotion. There's something about a symbol that explodes in your mind. For instance, that man's a dictator. That's all right. He's a tyrant. That's a little better. He's a beast. Did you know that in the book of Revelation there are two beasts? One that comes out of the sea and one that comes off of the land. They're two incredibly evil people, and the Bible speaks of them as beasts because it arouses a different emotion in you when you hear that. For instance, in the book of Revelation, Satan is symbolized. You know how he's symbolized? He's a dragon. Whoa. It's a prophetic book, a personal book, a pictorial book. And then here's one of the great things about this book. It's a profitable book. The book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that I'm aware of that has a blessing associated with it for those who will read it. And it's not in the book of Revelation just once, it's in twice. It's at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book. Let me show you the verses. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. At the end of the book, in verse 7 of chapter 22, we read it again. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. The Bible says that when we study and we learn and we keep the words of the book of Revelation, Almighty God will bless us. And I have watched that over the years. God blesses those who study and understand this book. The word blessed means happy, blissful, joyous. And I must say, those are not words you usually associate with the book of Revelation. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that Revelation was written in order that God's people who were passing through terrible persecutions and terrible adversity might still be able to go on rejoicing. It's a book that showed them the ultimate victory of the Lord over Satan and all the other forces of evil. God's in charge. The last thing the Lord wanted us to know before the book was closed, and it's all about where it's all going and what God has in store for those who love Him. And I want you to be encouraged as we understand that. This book is profitable for personal application. John was not interested in merely stimulating the imaginations of his readers. His goal was to influence their lives. He wanted them to live differently because of what he wrote. Here's the phrase, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." But what does that mean? It's in the book over and over again. John will say something, then at the end of it he'll say, "Whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear." Well, we would translate it this way, "If the shoe fits, wear it, right? In other words, if this applies to you, put it into practice in your life. The book of Revelation is not just some prophecies about the future. It's filled with instruction and encouragement for us in the present. When we read this book, it should change the way we live. It should govern our conduct. Revelation puts everything into perspective. You know, sometimes you look around today and it seems like Satan's winning all the battles. And he does win a few here and there, doesn't he? He's won some this last week. But we know that the war's already been won. He's winning a few skirmishes, but he's going to lose this war. In fact, have you ever wondered why there's such a resistance to the study of the book of Revelation? I ask people all over the country, have you ever studied this book? And you're just, oh, my pastor doesn't want anything to do with that book. We never talk about it. Why do you think Satan keeps even the people of God away from this book? I believe it's really his purpose that nobody ever read this book. The more you study the book of Revelation, the more you understand why Satan fights so hard to keep God's people away from it. He does not want you to know what this book declares. That even though you're going through some difficult times, Almighty God is still on the throne and Jesus Christ is still the victor in every situation in life. He doesn't want you to know that. Somebody asked me that question one time about why it's so hard to read the book of Revelation, why so many people don't. And I remember answering the question this way: if you were Satan, would you want somebody to be telling the story of your demise? The Bible does that, doesn't it? It tells the story of the demise of the enemy and the victory of God's people. Well, we'll have more of the exile tomorrow here on Turning Point as we just get started with the series, Agents of the Apocalypse. Let me remind you that all of the materials for the series on the Agents of the Apocalypse are now together in a beautiful prophecy set, and it includes the book, The Agents of the Apocalypse, the study guide, the DVDs, charts, and all kinds of additional material to help you go through the book of Revelation. Why not go to our website today and find out about it? You might be interested in getting this entire set of teaching materials for the book of Revelation. It's great for small groups because now you'll have in your hands everything you need to have a robust discussion about this exciting futuristic book, the book of Revelation. But for right now, if you would like to have a book that will help you answer some questions about prophetic things, we have decided to make available as our resource of the month the Prophecy Answer Book, and it is available now for those of you who will send a gift to Turning Point. This beautiful hardback gift book answers many, many questions that we have been asked over the years, questions that have been sent to us on the internet or through the mail, and we've selected some of the more prominent questions, ones asked more often than others. We have 185 pages of questions and answers about prophecy in a beautiful gift book that you will be proud to have on your coffee table or wherever you have books set out. Most of all, it's full of truth to help you, and we'd love for you to have it. When you send your gift to Turning Point today, we'll make sure you get one of these as soon as possible. We'll see you tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's current series, Agents of the Apocalypse, please visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. There we offer two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, with a copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, ask for your copy of the Prophecy Answer Book, filled with David's clear and simple answers to the most frequently asked questions about Bible prophecy. Strip away the mystery and discover the significance of prophetic events to your Christian life with the Prophecy Answer Book. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Just call or visit our website today to order. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Agents of the Apocalypse, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.